suit, by the way. I'm wearing fucking jeans and a sweater.
Do you hear him complaining?
Yes, I do.
I'm complaining about the false statements that you're purporting to your listeners, people. Your buds. Taste buds.
Are you... Oh, okay.
I win.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your combat boots wearing, iced chai drinking. I woke up at 2:30 this morning, and yet somehow I'm way behind, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, your Emily in Paris is deliciously addictive. I've rediscovered matcha powder. Everyone should take stock of what's in their kitchen cabinets, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I meet up to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are we talking about this week?
This week, I'm chatting about why the Brits freaking love tea so much. Why do they love tea? But they're drinking tea every day. They're drinking tea in the movies, on TV. British people always have a cup of tea in their hands, and I want to know why. I'm getting to the bottom of it.
And they make it look so delicious. And
I know.
I just have never been a tea drinker.
You know what? I think I'm going to incorporate more tea time in my life. So why don't you come over for a cuppa, Bethany?
I will. I'll come over for a cuppa. And I am doing part two of my topic last week, which is artificial intelligence. So this week, I'm going to talk about the different types of AI, why exactly we should be afraid of them, and the different feuds that Elon Musk has gotten into regarding artificial intelligence.
You know, Elon Musk, I almost don't even regard him as a real life person. He's just a character. He's just a cartoon character that exists in the world.
I think it was last podcast on the left, we're saying he's the closest thing we have to a real Iron Man. Because, like, Tony Stark is just a super, 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 super rich guy who's good at technology.
Yeah.
Who is cocky enough to believe he can fly and be a superhero.
I was listening to NPR a couple of weeks ago, and it was about the name Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you know the background behind this, Bethany, but Mr. Tesla was Einstein's, like, number two or something like that. And so there are people out there with the last name Tesla, and I think the car is named after that.
Yeah. Nikola Tesla was a huge, like, brilliant inventor. He worked a lot with electricity. And I know that, what's the name of the guy who was like such an a-hole? Nikola Tesla worked for Edison, Thomas Edison.
Edison.
Yeah.
Okay, what did I say before? Benjamin Moore?
Einstein. It's okay. Those old E names. And he was brilliant. And Thomas Edison was just a giant a-hole and, you know, kind of strong-armed his way around. And Nikola Tesla really kind of got screwed over by Edison. And I think they became enemies, or, like, you know, they feuded at least.
So it is my understanding that the Tesla family has nothing to do with the Tesla car. Wouldn't you be so mad if someone was making so much money off of your last name?
I'd be livid. And I'm confused as to why he can use the Tesla name.
I don't know.
I suppose it's just a name, right? It's like generic, supposedly non-specific last name.
Like, I don't think Sam Goody Records has to pay royalties to every Sam Goody out there.
Can you imagine if Sam Goody sued the Goody Hair Scrunchies company and there was just like this battle royale over a closed music store and a hair supply company?
Did you and Dennis carve pumpkins over the weekend?
No, we were going to and we completely forgot. So now we're doing it next weekend is our goal.
Okay.
What about you? Right. Did you and Neil do anything?
No, we went to Target and returned. I'm one of these people. I feel really bad about it lately and I've gotten worse during the pandemic, but I buy a lot of something because I want options and then I return it to the store.
Yeah.
And so now I have like $500 back on my Target card because I had so much stuff to return. They are going to ban me from their store eventually. I need to stop doing it because it's like wasteful and I have to. So anyway.
What was the latest thing that you bought?
I bought a desk that I decided I didn't want.
A desk?
I bought that back. Yeah, because you know what? I thought the top of it was marble. And then after I'd already ordered it, I realized that it was like faux marble and it could be dented pretty easily.
Oh, yeah.
And then I bought like six pairs of jeans from Target to try on at home. I have to stop. I did see a photo. I think you posted it or Dennis posted it. You guys were watching TV with candles on.
Kathleen, it is the best It was Dennis's idea. We love playing Scrabble. This is our new thing. Mm-hmm. He beats me every time. I'm awful at Scrabble. And we watch like a scary movie that we don't need to pay a ton of attention to. So usually it's like a 1930s or 40s, you know, black and white, like a bunch of rich people stuck in an old house horror movie.
Yeah.
And we have only candles lighting it. And we like, it's just cozy and fun. And this is the season. And like, it's been hot out in New York. Yeah. And so we have to recreate that cozy feeling at home. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we've been doing. I highly, highly recommend it.
So I copied you.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, last night was the premiere of The Walking Dead, and we're a Walking Dead household. We love it.
Oh, you're deadheads.
Deadheads. Yeah. And our friend Dan came over and I put on a candle and we're watching TV with the candle on. And I was like, I don't know what it is. It just makes everything so cozy.
I like your phrasing. You put on a candle.
I'm not a candle lighter, so I know.
Oh, you like, aren't. That's right, because they make you have sick lungs.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of carcinogens when you burn a lot of candles. Yeah. I'm worried for the future of you and Dennis, because Bethany, you're a candle addict.
I love a candle. I do keep the windows open. I don't know if that helps. Like, the air is fully. Don't shake your head at me.
I mean, you're just providing more oxygen for those candles.
I mean, you know, but we're like filtering that air. You know, leave me alone. That bird from last episode is still...
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
You should do an interview with him.
There he is.
I can't hear him today.
He'll make me a liar every time. He's out there and I can hear him. And I can hear you, bird. And I know what you're up to. And I know what you did last summer. What do you want from me?
Should we rename that bird Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Yes. Except Jennifer Love Hewitt is much more pleasant.
In section 4 of this podcast today, we are going to read our very first spooky story submission.
I'm so excited. Keep them coming. If you have a spooky story, I prefer them to be real, you know, but if they're fake, just don't tell me. And don't do the thing where you're like, sorry, Bethany, it's actually fake. LOL, I know you didn't want me to tell you. Just don't tell me if it's fake. Make it good. And acquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com is our email address. And we want to hear from you. I love a spooky story.
And we're also going to hear from our first taste bud as to why they are voting. So that's really exciting. It's something we're going to be sprinkling into our shows this month.
Yes.
With less than a month away.
Yeah.
I think it's like 27, 29 days or something until Election Day, which is exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I like that it's spooky season, but we're peppering in the civic responsibility because, you know, it's truly spooky not being civically responsible. I say it all the time.
Speaking of spooky things, I have some good news.
What?
Pinterest is trying to make Halloween more culturally sensitive.
Ooh, like no more quote unquote Indian outfits. And
yes.
And like, I'm going to dress like just a generic Chinese person.
Yeah. So Pinterest is adding new measures in addition to the existing ban of advertisements of culturally inappropriate costumes on their platform. They are cutting down on the number of insensitive costume ideas on the site.
That's great.
Yeah. So Halloween, this is what this statement that they gave. Halloween should be a time for inspiration and not for insensitivity. Costumes should not be opportunities to turn a person's identity into a stereotyped image. So if you search something like Day of the Dead, because that's what you want to be for Halloween, a prominent pin is going to come up with information from experts and Pinterest employees about how to celebrate Halloween thoughtfully and respectfully.
I really like that. Like, we went to Spirit Halloween over the weekend because it's just like, you know, where you buy your home decor for the rest of the year. And they had like voodoo priestess costume and you could get a plastic shrunken head. And they had, they had a lot of Day of the Dead stuff.
Yeah.
And not like to celebrate it, but like to be it.
Did you see any Pocahontas stuff?
Absolutely. You know what? I'm trying to. No.
Huh.
A lot of steampunk, which is great. A lot of steampunk, a lot of witches, a lot of like 1970s, 1980s, like, which is, that stuff is great. Plague Doctor is very popular this year for obvious reasons. But I that's such good news. I really like that.
Speaking of witches, did you see that Roald Dahl's The Witches is going to be a movie?
Wait, what? What are Roald Dahl's?
You know, Roald Dahl.
Oh, Roald Dahl. Oh. I thought they were kind of like, I thought they were like a new action figure I didn't know anything about, like Bratz, but like Raw.
Oh, no. There's some big names in this movie. My friends just circulated the trailer in our group chat last night. Anne Hathaway is starring as one of the witches. Octavia Spencer is in it. Stanley Tucci is in it. Oh. Chris Rock is in it. I mean, it's going to be a really good movie. I don't know when it comes out, but everyone should go watch the trailer.
This is the reunion of the Tucci and the Hathaway from Devil Wears Prada.
October 22nd. That's right. The Tucci and the Hathaway.
I will watch anything that Stanley Tucci is in. He brings a level of delightfulness to everything. He just looks like he's having the best time. If you have, I think I've said it before, if you have not seen a little, I think it's called A Little Bit of Chaos, A Little Chaos. I want to double check. Yeah, A Little Chaos with Kate Winslet. Stanley Tucci is in it. He plays this clearly a homosexual man who's married and hates his wife. And he's just like having, you can tell as an actor, he's having the best time just like playing up this amazing, like he's in this amazing outfit, this powdered wig. He's just snarky. He's just so wonderful. I love everything he does.
Wait, have you heard? And I don't think we've talked about this on the podcast yet. There's a movie coming out called Supernova in which Stanley Tucci and Colin Firth are lovers.
Really?
And I think they kiss. Well, this is like my two favorite men.
This is so excited. This is not 1993. I mean, like, we've seen men kiss on screen before.
I know, but like two men that I'm sexually attracted to.
Oh, gotcha.
Is that wrong of me? Like, no, I don't know if they kiss. Colin Firth and Stanley Tucci have been long best friends of blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I think they kiss in the trailer. I have a note in my podcast notes on my phone, a Supernova trailer.
Written by Harry McQueen, stars Colin Firth and Stanley Tucci. The film had its world premiere at the San Sebastian International Film Festival. It's scheduled to be released on November 27th, 2020. That'll be lovely.
Why are you feeling a little off today? You woke up at 4:30. What's going on?
2:30. I woke up at 2:30.
Why, my friend?
I did something to my back, and I don't know what it was. It's been bothering me for about 2 weeks, and then over the weekend, I just did something. I you don't take care of sore muscles and then all of a sudden they just seize up.
Yeah.
I don't know. My back seized up and now there's just like this one spot where I just really want someone to like beat the hell out of it with their elbow. And
do you need me to come over and walk on your back?
I mean, would you? So it woke me up at like 2:30. And also I just ate nothing but pizza yesterday. So my stomach was hurting. I feel weird on a Monday, which is tough. It's a tough way to start the week.
You know, that's really strange that you say that because I woke up at 4:30 also with my stomach hurting.
Really? Why? What did you eat over the weekend?
I had like a terrible salad for dinner last night that we ordered in. Can I tell you, you know, those tank tops, those workout tank tops where they're split in the back?
Yeah.
To like let air in.
Yeah.
I woke up with that on backwards, so split in the front, so my breasts were just hanging out. I was really confused.
What did you put it on like that in the night in the dark or what?
Bethany, I don't know if I had too many beers when I was watching Walking Dead last night. I was so confused when I woke up this morning. You know, my stomach was hurting, and just, my breast seams were out. My wedgie was all the way up to Timbuktu.
Well, speaking of having your belly hang out, over the weekend, I did a photo shoot for my aerial class and we were out on the beach, which, I mean, nightmare. But I brought my parasol, so everything was okay. But one of the women in my class is very pregnant, and this was her last time going up in the air before she delivers. She's just this ethereal angel anyway, but she had on this pink gauzy sort of gown. It covered her boobs, and then it opened over her belly. And so she sent us all a picture when she got home from the day because her belly was sunburned because she'd been out in this gauzy dress that kept opening over her belly. And so she was holding her boobs, her chest was sunburned, and then her baby bump was like toasted on the top. And it was,
I've
never seen a sunburned baby, but it was really cute. Like she's going to get, I told her she was getting that base level tan for her baby bump.
There's nothing more beautiful to me than a pregnant woman's body.
Oh my gosh. She's stunning. I don't know. I probably shouldn't promote her Instagram. I don't know if she's private or not, but she just like is this stunningly beautiful pregnant woman. That's one thing I mourn not having a child is that I won't get to be like a stunningly gorgeous pregnant woman because you don't have to suck anything in when you go walk around in a bikini. You can let it all hang
out. That's true. But you get to be a stunningly gorgeous regular woman. So it all balances out.
You're very kind, but I have to suck it in.
Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
If money's tight, which it is for a lot of people right now.
Yeah.
Mental health may not be first on your list as to where you want to spend your money. But I'm here to tell you that your quality of life will be so much better if you take care of yourself as well as everything else around you. And that is why we are so proud to partner with Talkspace.
Talkspace is online therapy. It lets you connect with a licensed therapist for a fraction of the price of in-person therapy. And one of the biggest things that we all have in common right now is that our mental health is declining.
Mm-hmm.
And taking care of your mental health is not a luxury. It's a necessity. And that's why Talkspace is here to help you.
Yeah, just imagine this. You have a personalized support system, someone that you can talk to 24/7, someone who's going to listen to what's on your mind, give you accountability, support you, and not judge you. You can have all of this with Talkspace for as little as $65 a week.
And by the way, the cool thing about Talkspace too is that their licensed therapists, they have thousands of them, have experience in so many different specialties. Things like treating depression, substance abuse, trauma, relationship issues, food, eating.
The bottom line is that we all need someone to talk to. And Talkspace is here to give us the support that we deserve at a price that we can afford.
As a listener of this podcast, you get $100 off your first month on Talkspace. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com or download the app, and then make sure to use the code TASTE to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the show.
Again, to get $100 off of your first month and show your support for Acquired Taste podcast, all you have to do is go to Talkspace.com and use the code TASTE. Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
Let's talk about why British people love tea so much.
This is, I've always wondered, because I don't feel, but they always do on these procedurals that I watch. They're always talking about murder while they're drinking a cuppa.
Yeah. So it's funny you say that, because Neil and I just finished watching this show on Netflix called The Bodyguard. It's 2 years old, so it's not a new one.
Oh, starring the hottie from Game of Thrones.
Yes, exactly. And he says a lot in that show, like, will you stay for a cuppa? And I was like, God, that's so charming. Why don't Americans ask each other to stay for a cuppa?
I know. I didn't know that they were saying cuppa until far long into watching Orphan Black, when I think I had subtitles on or something and they actually had it written out. And I was like, oh, it's, I always thought it was them saying a cup of and then getting distracted. No.
I don't know why I think that's so funny. I never finished Orphan Black. That's something I should go back and
I didn't either.
So it got me thinking, why do British people love tea so much?
Yeah, why do they?
So before we get into the history of it, I have some facts for you.
Ooh.
Did you know that there are 3,000 different types of tea in this world?
I hadn't even thought about it.
And much like wine, the flavors of tea depend on where it's grown.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Wait, I've actually never really thought about what it's grown as.
It's a plant.
It's a plant. It's a leaf.
Yeah. It's a leaf, yeah.
But, like, I've never seen, like, a green tea plant. Have you?
No, never.
Am I an idiot?
No, I mean, maybe I've seen it in, like, nature photos or photos of China, because the Chinese are the originators of drinking tea.
Sure.
And a lot like the tea we buy, just like the wine, there's blends. So a lot of the tea that we drink are blends of different types of tea leaves from different places.
Okay.
But of those 3,000 different types of tea, there are 4 main categories. And these are ones that you've already heard of. White tea, black tea, green tea, and infusions.
Ooh, I love an infusion. I don't know what it is.
So infusions, you know, they're like herbal teas or peppermint or fruit-flavored teas.
Oh, okay.
Infusions are not true tea leaves. There's a lot of like dried fruit or whatever inside of them.
Gotcha. Okay. So you're like taking like the essence of a thing, mm-hmm. the drippings mm-hmm. of a thing.
Yes.
Okay.
And something else that I learned is that you really shouldn't ever pour boiling water over tea, because you're going to burn the leaves.
Oh.
So white tea, green tea, and black tea, they take different temperatures. The most fragile of all the tea leaves is actually the white tea. And online I read for white tea, once you see a bit of steam coming out of the kettle or the kettle begins to just slightly vibrate, turn the heat off, and that's the right temperature that you want for white tea. And then you work up from there. Green tea is like the next hottest, then black tea is the next hottest, and then infusion, you need boiling water.
This is fascinating. I didn't know any of this.
I mean, today's kind of a gloomy day in New York City. We're recording this podcast on Friday, or we're recording this segment rather on Friday, October 2nd, and it is gray outside.
Yeah, it is.
I'm surprised you're not wearing something cozier. I mean, you're just wearing a black t-shirt today.
Yeah, because I get hot. So, I mean, mm-hmm. and I had to leave the house this morning and kind of run an errand. And when I came back, I was sweaty. So I'm still sort of cooling down.
Tell us about your errand, Bethany.
I had to go get a rapid corona test.
Yeah, you're not feeling so well. So I thought this is why I'm doing this topic today, because tea is a comforting topic.
Yeah, definitely. It's a cozy day. After we're done recording, I'm definitely going to be putting on some type of caftan or poncho mm-hmm. and like curling up on the couch.
Do you have a bathrobe?
I have four.
I mean, is that like, I feel like bathrobes are not something that people our age use, but my mom and my aunt are always in their bathrobes.
Do you have a bathrobe, Kathleen?
I do. I leave it in the closet.
Bathrobes are wonderful. I have them hanging on my bathroom door. And mm-hmm. then when I get out of the shower, I put it on because I sleep in the nude, you see. And yeah, so that's right. I wear it to bed and then I put it on in the morning and I, you know, shuffle out. And yeah, bathrobes are the bomb, man. You got to have a cozy one for winter and you got to have a light, airy one for spring. And then you have to have a satin one for meeting guests.
Oh, for inviting Tom Cruise over to your apartment.
Exactly. And you have to have definitely like a silk satin or a velvet one in case the cops come over to question you.
Ooh, exactly. Well, just the idea of drinking a cup of tea in a bathrobe is like really just giving me all the feels right now.
You should do it.
Also, I learned that tea has more caffeine than coffee.
Really?
But it's not as simple as that. So wait for weight. Tea has more caffeine, but you use more coffee to make a cup of coffee than you do tea to make a cup of tea.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one more quick tidbit before we get into the history of tea and Britain.
A bit of a teed-bit.
A teed-bit. Okay, so this comes from Kate Woolard. She's a tea expert at Wittard, which is like a fancy like food and gifts sort of company in Britain.
Okay.
BuzzFeed interviewed her a couple years ago, and I'm including all of my links to everything I'm talking about in our show notes. If you're someone who takes milk in your tea, okay?
Yeah.
So there are kind of two different ways you can drink tea. The fancy way, which is like the loose leaf tea.
Yeah.
Do you have a loose leaf teapot in your house?
I don't have a pot, but I have one of those balls that you open and close. Wait.
I have like a...
Yeah, those like Dunker metal mesh balls.
Yeah, like a tea ball. I don't know where it is.
Mesh balls.
It's in the back. Oh, here, wait.
I'm 12.
I have one of these guys. Yeah.
Okay, so you can drink loose leaf tea or you can drink tea in a bag. If you are someone who takes milk in your tea, if you are drinking loose leaf tea, and this is specifically from a loose leaf tea pot, so I'm not sure how the mesh ball falls into this picture, but add your milk to your cup first, only if you are drinking loose leaf tea, because then you get a much better flavor, because then the tea, the tea water heats up the milk.
Okay.
And if you do it the other way around, the milk just cools down the tea.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I haven't tried it, but this is what this tea expert, Kate Woolard, is saying. Milk first when you're drinking loose leaf tea.
That makes sense. Totally.
Okay. But if you're drinking tea from a tea bag, you add the milk second.
Sure.
And she says, and God, it's like, this is so pretentious, this lady, what she says. It's like, oh, you're so British, this lady. She goes, some places pour water. No, I have a terrible British accent. God damn it.
Keep doing it.
Bethany, you say something in a British accent.
I don't
so
have
I
a British accent.
Oh, come on, you can do it. Some places pour water. No, okay, I'm just
some places pour water. That's awful.
Every time I try to do a British accent, I sound like a witch over a boiling cauldron.
Okay, say it as though you're a witch over a boiling cauldron.
Some places pour water on top of your tea bag, and then they pour milk on top of that. Okay, so you have to let, this tea lady says, you got to let your tea bag breathe. 3 minutes in the water. You got to let it seep, let it seep. Let the tea breathe, Bethany. The leaves need oxygen.
Okay.
And then you can put the milk in.
Okay. Do you take the tea bag out then before you add the milk?
I'm not an expert on tea bagging. I just don't know.
Me either.
I assume that you do.
I don't know anything about tea bagging. Dennis, do you know anything about tea bagging? He's not listening. He has his headphones on.
Okay. Also, you should never squash the tea bag against the side of your cup with your spoon. It releases tannins.
I'm doing everything wrong.
I know. Yeah. Because, right, don't you, like, you put the tea bag in your spoon and then you wrap the string around it to squeeze out the excess water. Sometimes I even take my hand, like, Thor style, and I'm like, rah!
I do the same thing. I squeeze it until there's no moisture left.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the history of tea in Britain. It was introduced, and I was actually really surprised about this. There's a Portuguese woman. Her name is Catherine of Braganza.
Braganza.
She married Britain's King Charles II. Okay. She was from Portugal. Okay. Her dad was King John the, what is the number IV?
Fourth.
She was specifically chosen to marry Britain's King Charles because her dad owned a lot of key ports in Portugal.
Okay, sure.
The Portuguese had access to more things than Britain did because it's easier to get from China to Portugal on a ship.
Makes sense. This is why marriage is so good for alliances.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when she gets to the UK, she's like, man, I really miss tea. Like, can we get some more tea up here? Apparently, Britain did have tea, but because there wasn't such a huge interest in it, not a lot was exported to the UK, and therefore it was very expensive, and people, it just, like, wasn't a popular thing with the people. Mm-hmm. So then Catherine, because, you know, everything that the royals do are very fashionable.
Totally.
Including moving to America.
I mean, yeah. Maybe Canada, but then ultimately America.
So Catherine was like, let's get some tea up in this bitch. And everyone was like, yeah, let's get some tea up in this bitch. And then everyone in Britain started drinking tea, so much so that there was this poet. His name was, I don't know, Edmund Waller. I mean,
did you just make that up or is that his name?
It's his real name.
Why'd you say I don't know before it?
I mean, this is the year 1662. So this is a long ass time ago. He wrote a poem for Catherine on her birthday. She's a royal. And the poem had some shit about tea in it. All right. That's it.
Did you just bore yourself? What happened?
No, I didn't. No, Bethany. That is the history of tea in Britain. That's it.
Okay. That's great. Okay.
But it wasn't until 200 years later, there was a duchess who was hungry.
Okay.
She would get hungry in the afternoon. Her name is Anna Russell. She was a duchess of Bedfordshire.
Bedfordshire,
get in my cauldron, children. Okay, so this is the 1840s, and Duchess Anna Russell is like, man, at 4 o'clock I get so hungry when I'm drinking my tea, and dinner's not until 8. What should I do? I'm going to order some bread and some butter with my tea. And it caught on. She started inviting her friends over for afternoon tea, and they'd all drink tea and eat bread and butter, and then it turned into what we know today as afternoon tea.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's simple as that.
When people say it's tea time, is that always 4 p.m.?
So let me tell you, I'm going to get into this.
Okay.
But first, I want to mention that little tidbit about Duchess Anna Russell of Bedfordshire comes from the website britainandbritishness.com.
Not just Britain, but also Britishness. Britishness is a word I didn't know existed until I was today years old.
I didn't even realize what website I was reading from because, you know, you just Google around and click and start reading articles. And then I copy the link to save it for, like, my show note sources. And I was like, wait a minute. Britain and Britishness.
Britain and Britishness. Hold on. I'm putting it into my – hold on. I'm looking.
Do you often drink tea?
No, almost never. I drink it when it's iced.
I have buckets and buckets of tea in my kitchen that I never use because I put it in the cabinet. I'm like, okay, cool. This is going to be great. I'm going to drink this tea later. And then I forget about it. And 6 years later, I still have that box of tea.
Yeah, because I have exactly one family member who drinks tea and then one family member who makes cocktails out of tea. And so I have tea in case they're here, which is once a year, maybe twice.
I do love an Earl Grey cocktail.
Yeah, it's really good.
There is a distillery here in Jersey City, and oh man, what is the name of that distillery? Please hold.
Is it called Captain Obvious?
It's called, I cannot believe I didn't remember the name of this. It's called Corgi Spirits.
Oh my God, I saw a baby corgi yesterday on the West Side Highway.
Ooh, corgi butt, corgi butt.
Oh, the fact that I didn't scream out loud and run away with the corgi shows that I am a grown-up.
Are corgis one of those dogs that you have to buy?
You know what? One thing that I truly believe is that for every dog breed, there is a person who doesn't know how hard it is to take care of that dog breed. So I have a feeling that if you wanted a corgi, you could get a corgi at a shelter because because some people just get dogs for being cute and then they realize they don't want to take care of them. So I would still look. I would still look at a shelter.
Yeah. A while ago when we were chatting on this podcast with our friend, Dr. Lisa Lippman, famous veterinary to the stars in New York City, she said that there are responsible dog breeders out there. I still don't know how I feel about it, purchasing a dog.
I just have a hard time with it because there are so many animals that need to be adopted. I don't care if you're responsible or not. I feel like it doesn't need to happen. You don't need to breed them.
Anyway, the whole point of this dog conversation is that there is this distillery here in New Jersey, in Jersey City, called Corgi Spirits, and they make an Earl Grey gin that is the most insanely fabulous thing that you've ever tasted. And if you actually go to the distillery, they have a little bar and you can order some cocktails, and they serve this Earl Grey, like, lemony gin cocktail in a teacup. It is so cute.
Do they sell the gin in bottles outside?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm for sure certain that you would be able to get it in a liquor store near you. It's the best thing ever. I'm going to send you the recipe to that cocktail.
Yes, please.
Okay, anyway, back to tea. I think I want to start incorporating tea into my everyday life now.
So do you like tea?
I love tea.
How do you drink it? How do you take your tea?
I take my tea black.
Interesting.
But I did drink it with cream and sugar when I was in London. Because, you know, you have to do, like, tea when you're in London. It's a thing.
In theory, yeah.
Tea with cream and sugar is really the most delicious, wonderful thing ever.
It's so good.
Yes. Low tea and high tea. Did you know there's such a thing as low tea? I know about high tea.
I'd never heard of it.
Yeah. Okay. So there are two terms. They were started in the Victorian era, low tea and high tea. And actually, low tea is posher than high tea.
Really?
So low tea is served on a low lounge chair or on low sofas with low tables, similar to today's, like, coffee table.
Okay.
And high tea is served on high chairs around a table. But here's the surprising thing. Low tea was enjoyed by the aristocracy and high tea was enjoyed by the working class. So that kind of makes sense. You think about, like, a pub or a bar, they've got high tables.
Sure, yeah.
And in a fancy parlor, it's a lot of low tables.
That makes sense.
But confusion has arisen because high tea simply sounds classier than low tea.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you think about the, like, the old terms highbrow and lowbrow, which have a problematic history, but it's the same thing. It's like highbrow is considered better.
Yeah, better. Also, as in case you weren't confused enough, high tea is not the same thing as afternoon tea.
Wait, what?
I know. Okay, so let's slow down here for a second. Afternoon tea is derived from the social tradition started by the Duchess of Bedford. We talked about her. Taken at around 4 to 6 p.m.
Okay.
It typically comprises of a little assortment of crustless sandwiches and sweets and cakes. In short, this is the posh tea served today in country tea rooms or in cities and hotels and stuff like that.
Okay. And what's this one called? Afternoon tea?
That's afternoon tea.
Afternoon tea. Okay.
And so high tea is traditionally an end of the day meal for the working class, comprising of things like cold meats, pies, salads, pickles, bread and butter, cakes, and a pot of tea. And it's usually just shortened to tea. Like, gotta go home for tea, you know, like, kind of gotta go home for dinner.
Oh, okay. But it's, like, substantial food that will get them through the night.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's high tea.
That's high tea.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
That's the working class tea. Now, I am not clear if afternoon tea is the same as low tea. I think that afternoon tea is just afternoon tea, and that if you're rich, you're drinking low tea because you're sitting on low seats. If you're poor, you're drinking high tea because you're sitting on high seats.
You may not have an answer to this question, but I am curious. And gentle listener, if you know, let us know. Like, if you're going to visit, let's say I'm going to call upon my friend Kathleen.
Mm-hmm.
When I come to call, do you offer me, do you tell me what types of tea you have and I pick what I want? Or do I just inherently drink whatever you're serving that day?
Oh.
You know,
I think probably if you're posher, you're drinking the loose leaf tea because it's a little bit more expensive. And therefore, a loose leaf teapot makes, I don't know, probably about four cups. So you're just drinking whatever the host gives you. Maybe the host will ask you what kind of tea you want.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking, you know, some people can't have caffeine. So.
Yeah. There's not a lot of caffeine in tea. There's
it's not bad. It's not going to cause my grandma to, like, have an anxiety attack.
No.
I mean,
no,
she
no,
will,
no.
but it will be over something else.
You know, and I think the amount of tea and coffee in like one cup of coffee too is minimal. I think you only get the caffeine shakes when you've had like 8 cups of coffee a day.
Yeah, I remember my doctor once gave me a list of all of the different amounts of caffeine in different drinks because she was trying to get me to cut down. It's in my house somewhere, but I did lose it because I never cared.
That's because you drink so many cups of coffee. How many cups of coffee you drink a day?
I'm on – well, this is a – I mean, okay. Are we restarting the day at noon?
No. When you wake up in the morning.
Okay. So from morning until noon, like 4.
Okay.
And then when the day restarts at noon, I restart at 1. So this is 1.
Oh, really? So, Bethany, you know that the day doesn't restart at noon.
Okay. So then this is 5.
This is 5. Jeez, Louise, Bethany. Bethany Ann.
Be nice to me. I had to get a COVID test.
I know. I'm sorry. You're not feeling well.
I'm fine. I'm totally fine. They told me I was being overreactionary.
According to Statista. I'll include it in the show notes. This is how much tea the average British person drinks a day. Hold for me to read this chart.
Okay.
Okay, so 33% of the population in Britain drink 4 to 5 cups a day.
What percentage?
33%.
Good for them.
18% drink 6 or more cups a day, and then 8% don't know.
8% lost count.
And then the rest of it is like, it's kind of split equally between 1, 2, or 3 cups per day. That's a lot.
That's crazy. You know what, though? I like it. Like, do you watch Repair Shop on Netflix?
Can't say I do, but maybe I start.
You should. You would really love it, Kathleen. Speaking of just really calming TV, and gentle listener, if you're looking for something to just sort of like be on in the background and let your mind be gentle, yeah. Repair Shop is just a bunch of British people in, they're not all British, I don't know, what, a bunch of people who are not American in a big, old, beautiful barn renovating antiques. And then, like, whenever they're stressed, they have a cup of tea together. And it's lovely.
I love that. See, it's like a social thing. It's instead of a smoke break.
Yeah. And, like, the producers gave all of them a mug that has their initial on it. So that's what they're always drinking. It looks like it's from Anthropology. That's what they're always drinking their tea out of.
God, I love a good Anthropology mug.
I know.
You can never have too many. I caught my husband today. I'm so proud of him drinking out of my, you know, that coffee cup that we both have that's like, must bring down the patriarchy or something.
Yeah, yep, totally.
According to tea.co.uk, approximately 100 million cups of tea in Britain are drank. What's the?
Imbibed
daily.
Good for them, you know?
100 million cups a day.
Keeping that tea market alive.
How many cups of coffee do Americans drink a day? 2 cups of coffee is the average for Americans a day.
It's a lot of Americans not trying hard enough.
And so it's because you're making up for everyone, Bethany. So basically, the British drink so much more tea than we do coffee. Okay, back to tea things.
Okay.
Have you heard of the term cream tea?
No.
It's not at all what it sounds like. It sounds like putting cream in your tea, which is delicious,
yeah,
right?
Sounds great.
Cream tea is actually when you're served tea with clotted cream and a scone and jam.
Oh.
Isn't that wonderful? And clotted cream, gentle listener, if you've never had it, and I've only had it because my sister-in-law is Welsh, so she has served it to me the proper way. It's not sweet. It's like unsweetened whipped cream, kind of. A little thicker.
Yeah, my mom makes it sometime. Mm-hmm. It's delicious. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Oh, man. So apparently there's like this whole thing, where in the country are you from, how you take your cream tea? Because in Devon, people like their clotted cream first on the scone and then the jam. But in Cornwall, they're like, get out of here, Devon. We like our jam first and then the cream.
Get out of here, Devon.
Get out of here.
I feel like jam on top of clotted cream doesn't make sense because the jam is thicker.
And, you know, some people think that scone is not the way that you pronounce scone. They say it's like gone. Gone.
Scone.
G-O-G-N-O-N-E. Gone. So gone. You take away the s. Gone. Gone.
Oh, you take away the S?
Yeah.
Gone.
Gone.
I don't like that. Makes me uncomfortable.
Gone. Like, it's a very short S. Like, just there. It's just the tip. It's gone. Whatever. Anyway. Ooh. Yeah, that makes me feel uncomfortable.
I don't like saying it that way.
It's a GD scone. It's a scone. Okay.
Right. Some people call it scones, and then I don't know what to do with my hands when they say that because I just want to slap them. But, like, what should I do?
I need to play this video for you right now.
I'm going to listen.
It's this British man. He's just so pretentious.
I love British men.
No, Bethany, this guy's super pretentious. I found this video of this man. I'm going to play it for you in a second. Gentle listener, we can all listen. But he's teaching us the proper way to do afternoon tea. And I'm like, there are so many rules. Like, oh my God. Be prepared to be blown away by the most pretentious man in all of England.
Okay.
His name is William Hansen.
Ooh.
He's explaining us the etiquette rules of afternoon tea. Take your etiquette rules and shove them up your ass, William Hansen. All right.
Wow. He hasn't even said anything yet.
Look at his lavender shirt, his lavender tie.
Look, he likes the color lavender. He's sitting in front of multiple trays of cakes and sandwiches.
The chair he is sitting on is very ugly. Anyway.
Okay.
I'm going to play this video. You ready?
Okay.
Stupid posh music.
What could be nicer than enjoying a traditional English afternoon tea? But are you doing it correctly? Here's my official guide.
I'm nervous. I'm not doing it correctly.
Those desserts look delicious.
First things first, the napkin, never called the serviette. Take it and place it on your lap with the crease folded towards you. And next comes the actual drinking tea. Always loose leaf tea, please, so you'll need to use a tea strainer.
So dainty.
And when it comes to stirring our tea, we go back and forth, back and forth in a 6-12 motion, rather than round and round, creating an awful racket.
That matters?
Splashing, and any sugar that you have added in will just sit in the bottom rather than dissolving.
How dare you splash?
I had no idea that the direction of the spoon mattered.
Splashing is for poppers.
After you've eaten the sandwiches with your fingers, not with a knife and fork, then you can move on to the scones. Pronounced scone.
Oh, no, it's pronounced scone.
We don't use a knife to cut into our scones. We break them with our hands in two, just like so. When it comes to layering your scone, you have two options. If you are using Cornish clotted cream, then the procedure is that you put the jam on first, the cream on last. Whereas the Devonians with Devonshire clotted cream like the cream to seep into the scone, and so they put it on first. If you're neither Cornish or Devonian, you can do as you please, but never sandwich the two together and eat as a whole.
I have failed
sometimes
tea.
A pastry fork to eat, but upturned in the right hand.
Oh, upturn your fork in your right hand. Why can't I eat pastries with my hands? I'm eating sandwiches with my hands.
My instincts are so wrong on every front.
And when you have finished, make sure you dab your mouth, not wipe. My thanks to the Milestone Hotel.
Okay.
And now, due to my guide, you know how to have afternoon tea the correct way.
Here's the thing, though. He was smiling at me as he was talking, so I feel like he doesn't hate me as much as I feel like he might hate me.
No, I feel judged by this man, because I would go in and I would splash my tea and I would eat everything with my hands.
I didn't know anything about the 6 and 12.
Back and forth, back and forth. Who's got time for this?
This is, you know what? It's good to know. It's good to know. And then when we go, we will know exactly how to behave and everyone will be so impressed with these two Americans.
I would love to go to London with you, Bethany. I would love to.
We should do it. Let's do it. Let's do a live show in London.
Okay.
No one there knows who we are.
Nope.
And we will sell out if selling out means that no one shows up.
So to get to the bottom of it, why do the Brits love tea so much? It's a social thing. Tea became popular in Britain because it's a thing to do with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Blue-collar workers would take breaks and have their tea. Family and friends would assemble in the afternoon to snack, you know, together before dinner and drink some tea. Tea soon became an integral part of the component of everyday British life. And also, the weather, like today, which inspired my topic, is kind of gray and gloomy a lot of the time in England. And so tea is good for your health when you're living in a gray and gloomy climate. I guess
it makes total sense, and you know, it's pretty inoffensive, and there's so many different types, like you said, that it's pretty universal in terms of finding something you like, a flavor mm-hmm. that you like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really grateful you did this topic because I didn't realize how much I didn't know. I just knew that I didn't know.
Before we go to your cabinet right now. I'm gonna go to my cabinet in my kitchen. Take out what tea you have.
Okay.
All right, Biebs, what you got and what's the expiration date?
Okay. So I was today years old when I figured out and learned that tea has an expiration date. So I have Carrington tea, green tea original, expires February 23rd, 2019.
Oh, okay. That's not that long ago. That's fine. You can still have
it. It's
not
bad. And then I have Twinings or Twinnings.
Yeah.
Twinings English breakfast. I think I bought that for my sister. And then I have a bunch of Tazo because I make these into iced tea. So I have Tazo's Wild Sweet Orange, which is my favorite iced tea of all time. I have their Berry Blossom White.
White.
And I have their Scarlet Citrus Rooibos.
Oh, Rooibos. I think that's good for digestion. That's what Dr. Oz says.
And then I have an Earl Grey for my mom to make cocktails. What about you? What do you have?
I have an English Tea Shop Pomegranate, Robios, and Acai Berry Tea that expired in 2015.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I have a jasmine tea that expired in 2014. I think I got this before I was married, some of these teas.
I think maybe those need to go into the garbage.
I also found with my teas a whole bottle of Hawaiian spirulina. Don't know what I use this for, but I had it in my cabinet behind the tea.
No, if anything is behind the tea, it's going to die behind the tea. If you want to hide from the government, hide behind tea because you'll never get found. Kathleen, if there is one thing that quarantine has taught me, it's that I deserve to be comfortable.
Yes.
We all deserve to be comfortable. And that is why we are so grateful that we partnered with Beta Brands Dress Pant Yoga Pants, because you want to look professional while you're working from home. And as you transition back to work, you still got to look professional. You deserve more than to wear tight, uncomfortable dress pants.
Hell yeah, Bethany. Say that a little bit louder for the cheap seats in the back.
You deserve to wear pants that are comfortable.
Once you get a pair of Beta Brands dress pant yoga pants, you're going to throw away all of your other pants. That's a threat, not a promise. No, that's a... Okay, never mind.
Look, Beta Brand dress pant yoga pants are made of wrinkle-resistant stretch knit fabric. So they're perfect for long work days or working from home. They're professional business pants, but they're as comfortable as yoga pants. So you can give a long presentation and look sharp, but you can also do a high kick if you got to.
There are tons of different colors and styles to choose from, like boot cut and straight leg and skinny and cropped and eight pocket and more. I've been eyeing, I mean, I'm like starting to have a problem now. I keep buying Beta Brand dress pant yoga pant. I've been eyeing the skinny leg, the four pocket washed black jean type pants.
Yeah.
Man.
And I have their moto leggings, which have the moto detailing on the knees, and they also have functional zippers. They launch new styles weekly. So whatever you're looking for, take a look at Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants.
Do something for yourself.
Right now, our listeners can get 25% off of your first order when you go to betabrand.com/taste.
That's 25% off of your first order for a limited time at betabrand.com/taste.
Find out why Kathleen cannot stop buying these pants and why women are ditching typical work pants for Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants. Go to betabrand.com/taste for 25% off.
Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
I made a fatal mistake the other day.
Oh, no. Did you drive off the cliff?
No, I went apple picking with my friends and I didn't wear my Rothy's. And my friend Kristen was wearing her Rothy's and both of our sneakers got dirty and she can wash hers and I can't wash mine.
They're right in front of you. You have like three pairs of these shoes.
I know.
Learn from Kathleen's fatal error. Take your first steps into fall with comfortable, washable, sustainable products from Rothy's. These are the shoes that are made from recycled water bottles. And because they're made from this really super soft, comfortable thread, they're also machine washable.
And they're carefully crafted with eco-friendly materials that are from repurposed plastic water bottles and marine plastic. And you never need to break them in because they're so comfortable. There's a zero break-in period. That's because, I don't know, it's magic. Rothy's, they have this design where they're seamlessly knit to the sole of the shoe and you never get a blister.
They come in an ever-arranging array of colors, prints, and patterns. Plus, they have bags right now. So they're keeping single-use plastic bottles out of landfills, and they're making you look amazing.
So check out all of the amazing shoes and bags available right now at rothys.com/taste. I have the slip-in sneaker.
And I have their loafer in mocha. It matches everything. I wear it all the time. They're so, so useful. So again, go to Rothy's, rothys.com/taste. Style and sustainability meet to create your new favorites.
Head to rothys.com/taste today.
Kathleen, what is in your teeth?
I'm eating cinnamon sugar toast. There's nothing more comforting than cinnamon sugar on toast.
You know, we record this show over the course of just many days and hours. So I feel like we're always in kind of a different headspace. So right now you're eating toast. Can I tell you what I dreamed about before we get into the excitement of AI?
Yeah, go ahead. My toast isn't finished.
That's fine. So it was in like that liminal space of sort of dreaming, sort of being awake, mm-hmm. where you take things way more seriously than they should be taken. And I was wondering what I would do if I went to prison. Mm. And if I was like newly in my cell and a group of like terrifying, scary women walked up to me and said, whose side are you on? Because I'm sure that's how women in prison talk to each other.
I mean, it kind of is. We've all seen Orange is the New Black.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. I was trying to decide how you safely answer that question. And the thing that was really stressing me out in this half awake, half asleep state was, are these women a white power group? Mm. Because, you know, if I align myself with them, it gets mm-hmm. out to the public that Bethany unknowingly aligned herself with a white power group. That's not what I want. But I also don't want to make anyone mad at me. So how do you answer the question, whose side are you on?
Yeah. Like, are they the proud girls? Or
are they the proud girls?
Are they like environmental sustainability girls?
Right, mm-hmm. right. Or are they just really big fans of the color white, you know, and it has mm-hmm. nothing to do with race. So anyway, I didn't figure it out.
Yeah,
I think I tried with what do you need? You know, what are you looking for? Because I got to be tough. And then they'll be like, what do you mean? And I'd be something like, well, I'm smart.
Yeah.
You know, do you have any forms you need help filling out? Because that's a way to get on someone's good side, is to help them with forms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because no one likes paperwork. Yeah.
PDFs. And so then I'll be like their paperwork. I'll just be everyone's. I'm just trying to make it like the Shawshank
Redemption.
You have
to answer a question with a question, because that's what parents do to confuse you as a child. Like, what side are you on? And you say back to them, well, what side are you on? Well, we're on the side of this. Well, if I join your side, what do you have to offer me? You know,
whoa.
You got to play your power hand.
Whoa, I need you to be in prison with me.
I will gladly be in prison with you.
So in my head, I was in prison for something stupid like tax evasion, which isn't stupid, but like it's not
after
violent.
We found out what the president pays for taxes, there's no such thing as tax evasion anymore.
I think there still is. I think that he won't get dinged, but we definitely will if we evade
Why
our taxes.
Why does this dinky podcast pay more in taxes than the president of the United States?
We do.
We honestly do. So much more.
Yep. But you know what? We paid them. And that's why we're not in prison.
True.
Okay. So we don't know whose side we're on, but it's certainly not the side of breaking the law.
No, sometimes I'm on the side of breaking the law. Just don't get caught.
All right, Kathleen, let's talk about artificial intelligence. And here's the deal.
Okay.
The second this becomes boring, I want you to make a buzz sound, and then we're going to instantly start talking about the movie Home Alone Lost in New York, okay?
That's the rule. It was just on this weekend. I freaking love Home Alone.
Okay, great. So the second that it gets boring, tell me and we'll start talking about Home Alone 2 Lost in New York. Ready?
Do you remember that part where he like pretends that his dad is busy and then he gets the suite and it's like they believed him. They just believed him. How does that happen?
Yeah, they totally believed him. It's crazy. And you know what? He got to that Rockefeller Christmas tree. Uh-huh. No one was around. And that's insane, because that place is mobbed. There's no way that you'd be able to find your lost son at the Rockefeller Christmas tree. That's the worst place.
No, I've been there at all times of the day on multiple days in the month of December. And it's even on the – I was there once on Christmas Day at 8 o'clock at night.
Oh, you
– No, it was really fun. But it was crowded. It was still really crowded.
I have friends who it's the two and then they have two sons. And one Christmas, they decided to go to the Rockefeller Christmas tree and they had their picture taken. And you can tell that all four of them are trying not to cry for different reasons, because they were all so
miserable.
Wait,
let's talk about your topic, Bethany. Let's talk about it. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. So this is a debate over super intelligent artificial intelligence and whether or not it's going to take over the world.
Okay. It will, and I'll enjoy it. Okay.
Okay. So there's a couple of different kinds of artificial intelligence. We only have one in real life, mm-hmm. and that is narrow AI. This is the one that just is one single narrow task, and it doesn't do much more than that. So
okay.
if you're thinking of AI that we have right now, that's this. It's like Siri. It's like your Amazon Echo. It's like, you know, your whatever that plays your whatever for you whenever.
Yeah.
Cool.
Our robots just do one thing
they
right
do
now.
Do the one thing. Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. And they're mm-hmm. pretty safe. They're not like going to uprise and kill you.
Okay.
Then we have artificial general intelligence. If you think about robots in movies, if you think about iRobot starring Will Smith, those are artificial general intelligence. They're basically the level of the human mind. They think the way we think.
Is that like IBM's Watson when he was on Jeopardy?
He's probably closer to artificial general intelligence, yes.
Okay.
We don't have this yet. Uh-huh. Artificial super intelligence is when things become a nightmare scape. So this is when AI technology meets human intelligence and then surpasses it.
Mm.
So in order to qualify as artificial super intelligence, the technology would have to be able to be more capable than a human being in every single way possible.
Wow.
So they would have to be able to do all the things we can do, but also they would have to be able to have emotions and relationships.
So that's really interesting because I never thought about these three categories before. Narrow, general, and super intelligence.
Yes. Yes. Huh. Yes. And so some scientists and tech, you know, people who are in this world and having these arguments, they think that we'd never have to worry about artificial superintelligence because there's so many different ways of being intelligent that there's no way that these robots or the AI would be able to be proficient and then excel in all of them. Like some people are emotionally incredibly smart, but like mathematically morons.
Yeah.
Some people are brilliant at math, but they're not great at relationships. Yeah. And so these, we would have to create AI that did all of them perfectly.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Okay.
I'm just imagining right now. I know I'm kind of quiet and I'm just grunting. I'm imagining making love to a robot who's also good at math. And that person would be better than any other person I've ever known.
One person who doesn't believe that we're going to have a problem with AI taking over made the statement that our brains, the part of our brain that knows who we are, the part of your brain that's sort of aware as you move through the day, is unaware of the part of your brain that's doing math calculations. Like you're not fully watching the process of how your brain adds up 1 + 2. You just sort of know it's 3. And if you were fully aware of all of the things that your brain was doing at all times, you'd become addled. You'd become like a hot mess because you would know too much all at the exact same time. And so this person theorized that an AI who was able to do all of those things and be aware of all of those things would basically implode because there would be so much going on at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Information overload.
Exactly. In theory. But again, who knows?
Yeah, when you have one person talking in your right ear, one person talking in your left, and you're like, I can't hear my own thoughts.
Totally. Like, what if you were aware of all of the calculations your brain was doing as you drove a car?
No.
Your brain is, there's depth perception going on. There's calculations of how far away something is. There's being aware that you have to turn left up here, which means you have to move your arm to turn on the blinker. You have to blah, 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 blah. You'd go insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to narrate that for myself next time. Okay, Kathleen, foot on brake.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's like our brains are incredible.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of possibilities that could happen with the idea that AI, super intelligent AI happens, okay?
Okay.
We can have the great news or we can have the awful news.
Mm.
So Kathleen, which would you like to hear first?
Give me the great news first.
Okay. So
thank you.
Let's say AI is a thing now, super intelligent AI. It acts to benefit humans, and suddenly most people around the world have all of this free time because we don't have to do our jobs anymore. The AI can do it. And because we have all this free time, we have nothing but time to create new technologies. So we're having technological breakthroughs super quickly.
Yes.
Which means that the global standard of living now increases a ton.
Huh.
These world's largest problems would cease to exist because new technologies and new means of employing them are developed.
Yeah.
And so it's just a utopia of like everyone having time to hang around and play.
Okay. This is so weird. Because a couple podcasts ago, you mentioned the show Utopia.
Yes.
Have you watched it yet?
No, not yet.
I don't want to give away the premise, but essentially it's like for the world to be able to grow and create a better place for us to live in, we need more time. And Oh, I don't want to give away. I don't want to give away. It's like, yes, but if adult humans had more time and they weren't stressed out with all these other like tiny nuances that take away most of our day and our energy, like the advances in climate technology and in food technology and everything that we need to live a more sustainable life for this earth would come so quickly.
So that's exactly right. That's exactly right. But think about how our society is structured. Mm-hmm. We all have to pay a mortgage or rent.
Yeah.
We get that money from a job. Mm-hmm. So now there's no jobs. Mm. Unless you are super rich and you have a ton of money in savings, you are screwed now because unless we change the way that our society functions and everyone gets a base level income, you won't be able to pay your rent anymore because you don't have a job and you won't be able to get a job. And so everything could fall apart and the super wealthy would be the only ones who survive. That's the bad news. The other bad news.
Okay, great.
This superintelligence could develop to the point where its own level of intelligence increases exponentially. Mm-hmm. And the more information it gathers, the more knowledge it creates. It becomes more intelligent than humans, which is what is known as the singularity. So anytime you hear conspiracy theorists talk about the singularity, that is the moment that AI becomes more intelligent than humans. So even if we give AI the goal of being friendly to humans, if it's rapidly developing, it could easily change its own goals to a new set of goals that might dismiss us or even decide to kill us.
Oh my God. And then we become the pets to the robots and they take us for walks and we have to shit on the sidewalk. That's terrible.
Exactly. Now, Kathleen.
Yeah.
When do you think this could potentially happen?
I'm going to say soon.
You're not wrong.
I'm going to say, okay, let's see. It's 2020. Yep. I'm going to say by 2035.
Okay, you're in a good area. So Elon Musk has said he believes that AI could become more intelligent than humans by 2025. Ray Kurzweil believes it could happen around 2045.
Uh-huh.
But the majority of people in the know who've been asked believe between 2040 and 2050. So we are friggin' close.
So if I have a baby today,
yeah,
2050, my baby is 30. All right. Yeah. So in my children's lifetime.
In our lifetime.
In our lifetime.
In our lifetime.
God willing, you know?
Yeah.
Or technology willing.
Hey. God is dead, technology.
Okay. So Elon Musk once said that there needs to be oversight in the creation of artificial intelligence because he believes artificial superintelligence is more dangerous than nuclear weapons. And yet we won't let just anyone create nuclear weapons. So we need to not just let anyone create artificial intelligence.
He's right. Yeah, he's totally right.
Now, I watched this really, really interesting TED Talk. I'm linking it in the show notes. The guy is named Sam Harris, and he basically talks about why people don't believe that artificial intelligence is going to ruin the world and take over humanity. He says, death by science fiction is fun to think about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun to think about famine, but death by science fiction is kind of fun to think about. But the thing is, the reason most people don't take it seriously is because I think they're imagining what we imagine, which is armies of robots.
Yeah, yeah.
Like marching towards us and then taking us down.
Yeah, that's what I imagine.
That's not really what it would look like.
And then I'm in an abandoned version of Manhattan with machine guns like, pow, pow, pow.
Exactly,
pow, pow.
Exactly. But that's not really what would happen. What would happen is that AI would be as integrated in our lives as Facebook is.
I'm ready for that. I've been ready for that for years.
So let's say, Kathleen, that one day we have all of this AI and it gets out of control.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say we should do? What's a simple thing that you think we could do?
Well, okay, so everyone needs like a cabin or a tiny home that doesn't get electricity.
Okay.
Like a fallback, right?
Yeah.
And then you go live in the woods for a little bit.
Okay.
And then you figure out like how, I mean, Bethany, we know how to kill technology. You just pour water on them. That's robots. They don't like water.
So that is exactly what a lot of people say. They say if AI gets out of control, you just unplug it.
Yeah.
You turn it off. You kill it, right? You pour water on it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it pleads with us, you just pour water on it.
Kill, 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 kill.
But in a really interesting article in Medium, a guy named Matthew Ward made the point using Facebook. It's similar to what AI will look like in the future, because many of the destructive parts of Facebook come from recommendation engines and algorithms that decide what to show you and how to advertise. It's insidious. It worms its way into your life. That's what AI is going to do. Now, I ask you this, though. How would you shut off Facebook?
I would delete the app from my phone. Maybe I would delete my account. I would download all my photos before I deleted my account. And then I
if Facebook is going to destroy the world, just deleting your account isn't going to delete Facebook.
No, you're right. Multiple people would have to. I mean, we'd have to storm Mark Zuckerberg's house and get him to delete it.
Like, okay.
The whole platform.
Great. Where are you going
to
go?
To Mark Zuckerberg's house.
Well, which location? Because the servers aren't at his house.
So we take him hostage and then he takes us to every location where the servers are.
Okay. Facebook currently has 13 data centers across the US, 3 in Europe and 1 in Singapore that they're building.
Bethany, that's not that many. That's like 14. That's fine.
So each data center has hundreds of employees. So
yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So you're going to what?
They have other clients too, Bethany. It's not only Facebook's cloud stuff there. I mean, it's not that hard.
It is that hard. It's so hard. Now, here's the other thing. Just because we know that we should, think of how many people are addicted to Facebook.
Yeah.
So many of us know that Facebook is awful, but we don't delete it. I hate Facebook and I still have it.
Well, because it's part of our job to have Facebook. Actually, I quite like Facebook because I like Facebook chat.
So do you see my point? People are not going to want to delete or get rid of super intelligent AI, even if we know it's going to destroy us. This is the argument.
Well, I think that there would have to be a government mandate, and then that's different.
Okay. Now, government mandate. How are we going to go against a slow-moving government, especially when this AI has an extensive board of directors who have trillions of dollars invested in AI, and let's say they don't want it to go anywhere, they could potentially sue you for trying to shut it down.
Bethany, you're kind of right about this, but can I play devil's advocate?
Sure.
Can I just tell you some really happy news about technology lately?
Yes.
Okay. Happy news number one.
Yeah.
There's going to be a mask emoji, like a face emoji with a mask on it. It's really cheerful. The eyes are happy.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. I'm going to tell you another piece of technology news. That's good. Amazon's going to start letting you use your palm, your hand to like sign for things. Like you could check out Whole Foods just using your palm print.
Okay.
That's kind of cool, right?
So it's keeping your fingerprints and your palm prints on file.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it makes life so much easier.
So it has your identity fully on file.
You don't even need to use your Apple Pay. It's Pompeii.
They asked you to put a chip in your arm.
I would do it.
Okay.
100%. Disney Plus just launched a feature where you can group watch movies with your friends.
Okay, they're late to the party. Netflix has been doing that forever.
No, you can't do it. No, Netflix, it's a plugin. It's like a Chrome browser plugin. You can't do that
Netflix
directly
party.
You can't do it directly on Netflix.
Let's talk about some feuds. Elon Musk versus Mark Zuckerberg, 2017. Mark Zuckerberg said during a Facebook Live broadcast, "With AI, I'm really optimistic. I think people who are naysayers and kind of try to drum up these doomsday scenarios, I just don't understand it. I think it's really negative."
Who said that?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, he's right.
Elon Musk tweeted back saying, "I've talked to Mark about this. His understanding of the subject is limited."
Oh, shit.
Which is a sick burn.
Oh, shit.
Elon Musk versus Bill Gates. Bill Gates thinks that we should be careful, but he thinks that Elon Musk is panicking and is being a little bit overdramatic.
I like Bill Gates. I like his wife. I think that their foundation does good things.
That's great.
I like them.
Elon Musk versus Microsoft. Microsoft just bought an exclusive license for a language model AI. Mm. It was OpenAI. OpenAI is supposed to be open to the entire world.
Yeah.
So we don't know how much Microsoft is going to own, and it might not be so open anymore.
Bethany, just embrace this. Get yourself a smartwatch. I mean, we already have electric toothbrushes. You're on the right path.
Your electric toothbrush, it's literally just wiggling really fast. It's not like deciding if you need to change your oil or helping you plan your day.
Imagine a toothbrush that could be like, okay, it's time for you to go to the dentist. I'm detecting a cavity. Can you imagine?
That's great. That's totally fine. It's once you give that toothbrush the ability to continue to learn. I don't want it judging my teeth. I don't want it telling me that, like, not only is my plaque buildup more than it was 6 months ago, but also that I really shouldn't be dating the person I'm dating.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, maybe you shouldn't be dating the person you're dating.
Okay, lastly, if you want to watch super intelligent AI on your TV screens right now, the show Next, starring John Slattery from Mad Men, premieres this week on Fox.
Oh.
And the show's executive producer said he was inspired to make the show when his Amazon Echo started talking to his son in the middle of the night.
That's so cool.
So that's AI. We didn't even talk about Home Alone, Lost in New York really even once.
We didn't need to. We did. You know what I did with my Amazon Alexa last night?
Did you masturbate with it?
No, I asked you to play fart noises and then I laughed for half an hour.
We're all screwed. We are in such a weird time. And if you're someone who struggles with food and eating, this can be an especially difficult time because you're trapped in your house with the thing that, you know, you struggle with. Noom is here to help you out. Noom teaches you psychology behind the eating decisions that you make, and then it helps you keep track of everything from workouts and steps to analyzing your diet and recommending healthy recipes. Plus, you get a goal specialist and a community of other Noomers, so you're getting the support you need, which is exactly what everybody needs right now.
Yeah, and it's so easy to use. You just have the app on your phone. You take 10 minutes a day opening your Noom app and going through all the tips and tricks that they have for you, entering your food and chatting with your coach. It feels like you time when you're doing it.
And you know that Kathleen and I refuse to have food be either good or bad or off limits, and Noom agrees with that. They teach moderation, and that can be used in conjunction with a lot of pre-existing popular diets if it's something that you're doing. You're never going to be shamed if you, you know, have an off day and you didn't live up to the goals you had set for yourself. Noom gets you back on, starting fresh the next day.
Yeah, we're all human. And Noom works with your lifestyle. You can eat what you want, how you want, just all in moderation, because Noom helps you learn to change your habits.
You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. So sign up for your trial today at Noom. That's Noom.com/taste.
What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/taste to start your trial today.
That's Noom.com/taste.
Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
So I am now a believer in the Shudder Network. I've subscribed. There's a lot of really good things on that network.
They're fantastic. Absolutely. What have you been watching?
Tonight, I'm going to watch that new one called Scare Me with Aya Cash.
Yes, who I went to college with.
Yeah. That's crazy. What was that show she was in? I really liked it.
I don't know.
And I once tweeted her and she didn't tweet me back and I was really mad. Wait, were you friends with Aya Cash in college?
No. So here's the thing. It was literally like an upstairs, downstairs situation.
Yeah.
So she was a BFA and I was just a BA because I transferred in. And so I couldn't audition for the BFA program. Like you had to be there all 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead, she was in a show. She was in like a Chekhov play and I literally just made her corsets. Like she got to like perform and I was like in this workshop like sewing her outfits. So
you're the worst.
We were not in the same group.
That was I'm not calling you. I'm not saying you're the worst. That was the show that she was in on FX. You're the worst. That's what she's most known for.
Okay.
It was a really cute show. But anyway, she's on this new movie on the Shudder Network. Wait, Bethany, there is a Nicolas Cage horror movie out on the Shudder Network.
Is it Color Out of Space?
Yes. I need to watch that.
Did you see Annihilation, the Natalie Portman movie?
I didn't.
If you like Annihilation, you'll like Color Out of Space. You should also watch Annihilation. It's very trippy. There's a lot of like oily colors, like bright, oily, creepy colors.
Okay.
And this really bizarre reality. And Color Out of Space is a very similar, just sort of trippy, cool use of colors. It's an alien story. Nicolas Cage plays a dad and he's just so likable. Like Nicolas Cage doesn't like to play bad guys. He likes to play the good guy.
Yeah.
And he's definitely a good guy in this movie. I liked it a lot. You should watch it.
Gentle listener, if you're into scary movies, maybe this is, and you can cancel at any time. I think it's like $5 a month or something to subscribe to the Shudder Network through your Amazon Prime subscription. It might be worth it this month. There's a lot of really cool stuff on there.
I also have to highly recommend a triple feature if you're looking to really get into the spooky mood. I recommend watching You're Next, followed by Ready or Not, followed by Knives Out. And here's why.
Wait, I didn't see You're Next, but Knives Out and Ready or Not is, they're both really good.
So Ready or Not, the guys who did Ready or Not are doing the new Scream movie. So like it's the same like funny, scary vibe. But yeah. All three movies are rich, rich white families getting their comeuppance, basically. And it's really, if you want to watch just incredibly wealthy people lose their mind as they get like their home invaded and scream and bicker with each other, You're Next, Ready or Not, and Knives Out are all fantastic movies.
On the podcast Ruined, we did a commercial for them a couple episodes ago. I've been thoroughly enjoying this podcast, but one of the hosts on that podcast always says, the nicer the house, the bigger the tragedy.
Yes! It's so true. And like, I don't know, I had never seen You're Next. And so we watched it this weekend, and then I made Dennis watch Ready or Not because they're just like perfectly paired together.
Oh.
And if you haven't seen Ready or Not, you have to. It's wonderful and funny and so, it's not even really scary.
Yeah.
It's just like upsetting in a funny, funny way.
You know, a couple of weekends ago, I rented The Invisible Man with Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah.
And it's more of like an action suspense as opposed to horror, but there are some scary parts. It was a wash. Don't bother. I'm
really?
Sorry. I'm sorry, Elizabeth Moss. Yeah.
She's the only Scientologist we're allowed to like.
Yep, she is.
We were going to watch it this weekend, but I was like, I don't need to watch a movie about a woman being abused and like gaslighted.
No, it wasn't that good. There are a lot of, wait, I think they're remaking The Craft.
They are. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm conflicted. The first one was like a very, it was a seminal moment in my growing up life.
One of the best soundtracks of movies ever.
So good. And they used actual incantations in that movie.
I need to go back and watch the original. Let me see. Oh, Blumhouse. You like Blumhouse scary movies?
I think it's Blumhouse. Blumhouse. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. They're the ones who are remaking The Craft, and it's going to be straight to video on Amazon.
I think it's a more diverse cast, which I like a lot. But I just definitely have a soft spot in my heart for the original Craft. No one can beat Fairuza Balk.
Yeah.
When she's like, tricky, tricky, tricky. She's so creepy. I'm obsessed.
October 27th of this month, the remake is going to be released on Amazon
Amazing.
Prime Video. Just in time for
just
Halloween.
Just in time.
All right. Speaking of spooky things, let's get into a spooky email, okay. Spooky story from a listener.
Should we do Davin?
Why don't you kick it off, Bethany?
Hi. No, I don't want to do that voice. Let me try a different voice. Hi. Nope. Hi. Hi, amazing queens of the Acquired Taste podcast. My name is Davin. Davin? Davin.
Davin.
And I have been listening since the first episode and have always wanted to write in with my real scary story that happened to me. Well, here you go, Davin. In 2012, I visited Okinawa, Japan for 2 months. My sister was in the Marine Corps and was stationed there. She was going through a horrible divorce and needed some support, so I stood with her. My sister's apartment on base was very eerie. My sister had mentioned that she had horrible dreams of a woman holding her down, and she would wake up feeling like her legs were on fire.
Right before I left Okinawa, I had this horrible nightmare. I was in the car with my sister right outside of her apartment. We forgot something, so she asked me to run in and grab it. I hurried into the apartment as I was rushing to grab the item, and I saw a man crouched in the corner with his hands over his face.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
I ran past him and grabbed what I needed and went to leave the apartment. I closed the front door and ran to the elevator. I can see my sister's front door from the elevator. So as I'm waiting for the elevator, I turn and there is a tall black shadow of a man, and all I could see were his eyes, and they were menacing.
I try to run and can't move. All of a sudden, the hallway stretched out like in a horror film, and the figure starts walking towards me. I'm crying at this point because all I can do is watch him coming towards me, and I'm frozen with fear. He's reaching his hand to grab me, and right before I wake up, he grabs my necklace and yanks it off. The necklace I used to wear had a crucifix of Jesus on it, and I never took it off. As I'm shocked awake out of this dream, I see my necklace broken off my neck and sitting on the floor on the other side of the room as if it were ripped from my neck. I'll never forget that moment in my life, and it will forever stick with me. Happy Halloween spooky season. Hope you enjoyed this story. Davin. Holy Hannah.
What? What?
Holy Hannah.
Well, isn't Okinawa? Isn't that island in Japan is famous for being haunted, I believe.
I've heard the same thing. Yeah. I've heard the same thing. And look, is it possible Davin, like in their sleep, ripped it off? Absolutely. But is it strange that, I mean, to rip it off and then chuck it across the room?
Without remembering it?
I would rather believe that it was like this undead being that came through your dream. That's awful. Look, anyone standing in a corner is bad. Anyone covering their eyes is bad.
But also think about this. His sister was going through a horrible divorce. So the aura, or, you know, like there were already negative feelings swirling around the house. Mm-hmm. So if there was a negative presence looking to latch onto negative feelings to feed off of,
yep.
His sister was a perfect candidate, which means that her apartment was definitely a place where something, a bad spirit could inhabit with lots of food.
Bad spirits love turmoil, emotional turmoil. When my parents were getting a divorce, like we moved into this house and we had activity happening a ton because like
wow. They
were getting a divorce. I was going through puberty. No, I had puberted already. I was like 17, but I was still, you know, like high hormones.
Yeah.
And stuff was happening all over the place.
Puberted. I love. Is that actually a word?
You should put that in the dictionary. I don't think it would win in Scrabble at all. Should we talk to somebody about why they're voting?
Yes. In all transparency, the voice that you're about to hear is Charlotte's. She is reading Camila's letter. Camila recorded her letter with me, and then she said maybe she would feel more comfortable if Charlotte read it instead. So here it is.
Hi, ladies. Longtime listener, first-time writer. I am so excited to hear you're doing this segment. As a Latina, I just had to write in. I am voting for my mother, my sisters, and my younger self. When I was a child, I lived with the fear of returning home one day and my mother not being there because ICE had potentially taken her. I no longer have to live with that fear, but I always think of the kids and families in that position today. I am voting because impoverished communities depend on all of us to vote. I recognize that some of the things at stake for poor communities may not directly affect me, but that doesn't mean I can turn my head. I am voting because I am a sexual assault survivor. I'm voting because Black lives matter and their lives depend on it. They deserve to walk freely without feeling like a threat. In general, I don't trust politicians. I am afraid of what November's election will reveal. But I can't just be afraid. I need to be proactive. Being proactive means voting. In the past, I depended on Planned Parenthood for healthcare. I now have good insurance and don't go there anymore. But I know there are good people out there that depend on Planned Parenthood being there for them. The point of what I'm really trying to say is, can we give a fuck for other people for once? In this country, I've witnessed a lot of me mindset. People think that by minding their own business, they are doing the right thing. But we can no longer turn a blind eye toward the communities that need us the most. They need our vote. I am voting because, quite simply, I give a fuck about people. I believe everyone deserves food, clean water, and shelter. I believe we all have the right to exist in all spaces, and we need to make room for that. I am voting because people's lives literally depend on it. Thank you, ladies, for all you do. I honestly feel like I'm listening to a daily catch-up from some of my best friends. I love you and support all the work you do and feel less alone in this weird world. XOXO, Camila.
Okay.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing, Camila. That's a really amazing. You have a lot of amazing reasons why you're voting this election year.
Yeah. So let's talk for a second about Planned Parenthood.
Okay.
Because Camila mentions that. And I know that for people who are pro-life, Planned Parenthood can be the name of an organization that can get their blood a little bit boiling.
Yeah.
So I want to give some facts about Planned Parenthood so that people can make a more educated decision mm-hmm. about, you know, what their candidate believes should be funded.
Yeah.
So Planned Parenthood is not just an abortion clinic. Planned Parenthood has been around for, I believe, 97 years, mm-hmm. and they are a huge educator to men, women, and children about their bodies and their sex lives and reproduction, because a lot of schools don't teach that anymore. And if you don't know what happens to your body and what sex can do and what might happen, you can't make good choices. So besides education, Planned Parenthood offers services like birth control,
yeah,
cancer screenings, which can save lives, annual physical health exams, and STD testing and treatment.
You know, I don't want to interrupt you there, Bethany, but I do want to say that I volunteered for Planned Parenthood starting in 2016 for about a year and a half, mm-hmm, after the last presidential election. And I had conversations about the good things that Planned Parenthood does in poor communities. And sometimes I would hear back like, well, you know, they could just go to a clinic that's not Planned Parenthood. But the thing is that when you don't have a lot of money and access to doctors is an issue for you, you just don't trust the medical system, mm-hmm, because all they do is leave you with big bills. And if you're a woman from a minority group, they often, doctors don't believe you when, yep, you tell them something is wrong with you. And so the thing that Planned Parenthood provides is that they are experts in women's bodies. Yep. Yes, they treat men too. But if you are poor and you don't have medical insurance, you're scared to find any type of doctor. But Planned Parenthood is a place where you can feel safe.
Absolutely. And I think I've talked about it before on the podcast. I lost my health insurance. So as of the beginning of October, I don't have health insurance.
Yeah.
And so with my birth control, I will probably need to go to Planned Parenthood.
Wow.
Which is totally fine. Mm-hmm. I have so many friends who go to Planned Parenthood. It is there to help people make good choices and to keep their bodies safe. So every year, if you're someone who is worried about abortion, every year Planned Parenthood prevents an estimated 216,000 abortions by giving patients contraception.
Wow.
They help people prevent abortions. 34% of their services are contraception. Only 3% are abortion. And they don't just serve women, Kathleen, like you said. From 2002 to 2012, their number of male patients increased by 83%. And all of this information is from their website, plannedparenthood.org. So I just want to make sure that people understand that this is not just an organization that wants to like kill babies. That's not it at all. It's an organization that wants to help women make informed decisions about their own bodies. And I think everyone should agree, especially women, that you should be the one to control your body, whatever decision you decide to make. But it's your decision, not someone else's.
And also, I would like to go over some statistics about sexual assault, because Camila mentioned that she is a survivor of that. Mm-hmm. And this comes from cdc.gov. So this is a government website. And, you know, pro-choice is a topic, a hot topic on a lot of people's minds right now. And the thing is that I'm anti-abortion for myself. I would never have an abortion for myself now at this point in my life. But that I am pro-choice because I don't think I have the right to make that decision for somebody, mm-hmm, else. And I think a lot of people get confused as to anti-abortion and pro-choice. Mm-hmm. Like, pro-choice means that you make decisions for yourself and nobody else. And that is all that it,
yeah,
means.
Yep.
I'm very sad reading this, Bethany. Almost 3 million women in the United States experienced RRP, rape-related pregnancies, during their lifetime.
Oh my God.
3 million women during their lifetime. That's from the cdc.gov. The prevalence of rape-related pregnancies is similar across racial and ethnic groups. Hispanic Americans, white Americans, black Americans, it's similar across all racial and ethnic, wow, groups. Everybody.
It's everybody.
And 18 million women have experienced vaginal rape in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And women who were raped by a current or former intimate partner were more likely to report rape-related pregnancies as opposed to those who weren't. If you're less likely to report a rape-related pregnancy when you are not raped by an acquaintance or somebody that you know already.
It's scary. And I, you know, we don't want to like bring everything down at the end of the conversation. That's not what this is. What we really want to do is make sure that everybody is getting to be heard about the reasons that they are voting. And, mm-hmm, we've said it before, if you only ever vote once in your life, this is that election. There are different deadlines in different states for when you can register to vote. So the deadline has already passed for Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Ohio, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. All of those states, the deadline to register was October 5th, this Monday.
Yeah.
I have a website.
Bethany, while you're looking that up, I have one more statistic to share with you. This comes from dosomething.org. Rape results in 32,000 pregnancies a year. 32,000 pregnancies a year. I'm blown away by that. Anyway, we can change this. Yes. We can change this by voting.
So if you are not sure if you've registered to vote or if you need to register to vote, do it now. Go to voteamerica.com. That's the easiest way to do it. And you can register there. Do it now because these deadlines are approaching and it's incredibly important. And if any of this makes you frustrated, then you have to vote. You have to do your part. Mm-hmm. You don't get to feel angry feelings if you didn't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that Camila wrote at the end of her letter is that she's voting because she has empathy. And I think I think empathy goes a long way.
Yeah.
It really does, because your circumstances may be really jolly. But just imagine a life where your circumstances weren't so jolly.
Yeah.
And you just have to think of others as well.
Look, our show is all about everybody belonging, and we truly believe that. The only rule is that everybody has to be kind to each other and has to be respectful of each other. And we want everyone to be welcome at this lunch table as we sit here and discuss every week. The biggest part of that is empathy. And we hope that that is something that you are keeping in mind as you look at the candidates and who is showing the same values.
That's a good point, Bethany.
Thanks, man.
I don't mean to make this conversation
less
important.
Should we talk about Home Alone 2, Lost in New York?
Yeah, Bethany, what did you learn this week?
Okay, I learned if you need to see something just happen, you need to feel useful, you need to feel like you see the results of something.
Uh-huh.
There is a flower that I have been planting, Kathleen, and this thing blooms. It doesn't bloom. It starts growing in like a week.
Okay.
Hold on.
Do tell.
You're someone who plants gardens all the time. Like, this is old news for you. But I've been planting zinnias. I bought a little packet of zinnia seeds. These suckers show up in just a couple of days. I water them. They get so tall. I have one in my bathroom.
Wait.
It has, like, filtered light from, like, the frosty bathroom mirror. And it's like this. It's like, what is this? Like,
can you go get it? Go get it. I want to see this zinnia that you talk about.
I'm going to show you the various heights, and I'll put a picture on our Instagram. Hold on a second.
Cool.
So this is the Grand Dame.
That's a huge plant.
She is so tall. She's growing up the macrame hanger.
Zinnias with a Z?
Yeah, Z-I-N-N-I-A.
Okay.
And then these guys, I planted like 6 weeks ago. And
they're huge.
They smell so good. And they're like 3 inches tall. And they're superstar champs.
Where do you get your dirt? Do you go to the park and dig it up, or do you get it at the Home Depot?
You know what? I go to my local corner hardware store.
Yeah.
And I get some, like, whatever it's like charcoal earth or whatever it's called. And I just talk to them, and it's fun. And you can get, like, if you're someone who's nurturing and you need to take care of something, get yourself a spray bottle.
Okay.
And, like, spray their leaves every day and just kind of talk to them and nurture them. And if you're someone who doesn't, just water them once a week, put them in the sun. They're gonna be happy as clams, and you're gonna feel so encouraged that something has grown. You're going to find yourself naming them.
Yeah.
Soon you're going to be starting a college fund for them. Like, you're just going to go, you're going to get so attached to your zinnias, and I'm going to be really proud of you.
I love that. Oh, that's amazing. That's a fabulous what did you learn this week.
What about you, Kathleen? What did you learn this week, my love?
So I learned that there's a zoo in the UK, the Lincolnshire Wildlife Park. They had to remove parrots from their public display because the parrots were cursing at people.
Because they were learning.
They were using...
What do parrots and super AI have in common?
They were using profanity. So the zoo was like, we can't put you on display anymore. There are little children around.
Yeah, they learned it from the little children, I bet. Those kids have dirty mouths. That's amazing.
Polly says, fuck you.
Go fuck off, you big piece of...
Polly says, your mother's a piece of whore.
My mom mother's a nice lady. All right, Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
Webgirl Kathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I am Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. You can also find our show on social media.
Yes, this podcast is on Twitter, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Instagram, at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group. There are some amazing people in there.
Send us your spooky stories and also why you vote. And AcquiredTastePodcast@gmail.com.
And wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. Helps us move up in the ranks. Share with your friends. We need more subscribers because then that helps us make the big chart.
Totally. Talk about it at your next quilting bee.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Charlotte. She's a big part of this whole dog and pony show. Our show is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can follow her on Twitter at Chargar, on Instagram at lit_fuck.
And of course, you can find all of this information plus more on our website, acquiredtastepodcast.com.
If you want to give us a phone call, you can do so. And I'm going to tell you the phone number right now because it's in my brain. 917-994-0353.
Yes!
Woo! This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
All right, taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. It's Vanessa from Wisconsin. So I just had to pause the newest episode of the podcast. That's me talking about Charles-Binet syndrome. I work in the eye field, and that happens so often that it's not even funny at all. I had one lady thinking there were people inside her house, like she couldn't shower, she couldn't sleep or anything. They thought that she was moving the remote controls and stuff, but either way, her house was haunted or she had Charles-Binet syndrome. The doctor kind of didn't really know, so he just went with Charles-Binet. So I just want to tell you guys that story. It's crazy what our brain and what our eyes can do. So I hope you have an amazing day. Bye.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. It's Taste Bud Jessica from New York, and I am just now watching the Get Organized with the Home Edit on Netflix, and I'm watching the first episode with Reese Witherspoon, and all I can think about is how much Kathleen, you particularly would love this episode. It's Reese, and they're just like organizing all of her fabulous costumes from the different movies, from Legally Blonde, from Big Little Lies, all of her like red carpet looks. And she's just so cute and so into it. And she puts on the little hat and the little pink hat, and she just immediately gets into the what? Like it's hard? And she totally is just like the character. And I'm just loving it so much. And I feel like, how have you not talked about this on the pod yet? Such a great show. Love you guys. Bye.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. It's Savannah, Virginia. I just wanted to call and let you guys know about the big news going on in my life. I got married this morning. I've been with the love of my life for a little over a year, and we finally went and got married this morning. We eloped. It was just me, him, and my mom, and I'm just so excited to spend the rest of my life with him. And Kathleen, I don't know if it was the same for you, but the officiant asked us after we got married if we felt any different, and we told him no. We've felt like we were married for, I don't even know how long now. We live together. We love each other. It doesn't feel different. It just feels more official now. But I'm super excited. I now have 3 stepkids, and I could not be happier. I love you guys. I hope you have a good weekend and happy spooky season. Bye.
Hi, Bethany. Hi, Kathleen. I'm calling from Lansdale. My name's Jen. Been listening for a very long time. I'm just calling about an old episode where you talked about bugs living in your spices. So I'm moving, and I decided to go through my spice cabinet, and I'm looking at all my spices, and not only did most of them expire years ago, like I'm talking 2014, a lot of them don't even have dates. So I'm just throwing away everything, and now I'm super grossed out about what I've been eating for the past God knows how long. And, yeah, it's really gross. So that's it. All right, bye.
Hey, ladies. My name is Jess. I am calling because I was listening to the latest podcast episode, and Kathleen, so excited that you and Neil are going to be possibly buying a place. It's so, so exciting. I'm calling from a place of love, and just a word of caution. The home buying process is literally probably the worst thing ever. Everybody's experience is different. I know that. And the pre-approval is just like the tip of the iceberg. My husband and I have been trying to buy a house for 2 years now, and we've offered on 5 houses and been outbid every single time except for one. And we were so excited that our offer finally got accepted, and we were set to close in April. And 2 weeks before our closing, after we had done literally everything, I got furloughed and my husband got furloughed, and we lost our house. We lost, we didn't lose all our money, but we lost a lot of money. So it's just, it's the worst, but it's really exciting and I'm so excited for you. But I just wanted to caution you that it's a wild ride, and I wish you all the best. All right, bye.